Hi, this is Kara Eglinton, host of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and this is our Future is Missing Voice America Kids. Please be on the lookout for 15-year-old Erin Bird. She is considered an endangered runaway. Erin went missing from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, on November 19, 2011. She is Caucasian, 5'3", weighing 112 pounds, with brown eyes and blonde hair. If you know of Erin Bird's whereabouts, please contact the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children's Hotline at 1-800-THE-LOST. That is 1-800-843-5678. To see a picture of Erin Bird, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to ourfutureismissing.com. Thank you.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jacob Lattimore, with a question from my fans on Voice America Kids. Do you have what it takes to be America's next young superstar? If you're the ages between 8 and 12 years old, then step up to the microphone. You could win $25,000 in cash, a recording contract, and a scholarship. So make sure you get your parents' permission first, then go to www.stepuptothemicrophone.com to enter. Peace.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
Welcome to Runway Role Models, proof that there are still some amazing people out there who are making a difference. Now, here is your host.
Welcome to the show on Voice America Kids. I'm Cassie Frazier. This is Runway Role Models, and today we are talking with Miss Marsha. Is it Sue?
Actually, it's Marsha Petrie Sue. Petrie is my maiden name, and I married a boy named Sue, so I can't help it.
Oh. And before we get into, you know, all the wonderful things you've been doing, is that okay if I ask you some questions about who you are?
Absolutely.
Okay. So where are you originally from?
Originally from Southern California, Palos Verdes.
That's really cool. And why did you decide to move up here?
Well, in my corporate life, I spent 40 years working in Southern California. Then I was hired away and moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
And that was a bit of a cultural shock, shall we say. And then from there, I was hired away to here. So in 1990, I moved here, and I've loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Arizona is really beautiful.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an older sister that lives in Oregon, and I have a nephew that lives in Northern California.
That's really cool. And do you have any pets?
I have no pets.
No pets,
but I feed the birdies in my backyard.
Okay, well,
so
that
my husband
counts.
Well, my husband calls those my pets.
And where did you go to college?
I went to college at Cal State Long Beach, or otherwise known as Long Beach State, and then I got my master's degree, University of Phoenix. And actually, when I started my master's, it was University of Redlands, and then it was bought by University of Phoenix. So I started at Redlands, finished at University of Phoenix.
And when you were little, what did you always want to be when you grew up?
I always wanted to be Annie Oakley.
Oh my gosh.
I always wanted to be a cowgirl.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I saw you with your cowboy boots on.
I know, and I'm still trying to live that dream, but I think I may have passed my prime on that one.
And when you were growing up, did you ever wear cowboy boots to school?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, your parents were probably like, put those away.
No, well, actually, I rode horses, and
oh, okay.
I rode dressage, so I'd wear my dressage boots and my cowboy boots I loved. And that was before they were even popular.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And now, you are described as the Muhammad Ali of personal development, leadership, communications, and managing change. How did you get that name?
A friend of mine gave it to me.
Really?
Yes, it was really cool. He said, you've got to be called the Muhammad Ali of communications. And I said, hey, works for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I had another company that I work with, and they called me the decontaminator of toxic people.
Oh, my gosh.
So I do a lot of conflict resolution, communication skills, leadership development, as you mentioned.
Wow, that's really cool. And you love giving back, and that's why you volunteer all the time, which is why our interview has always been, you know, put off a little bit, because you're always doing amazing volunteer work.
Yes.
And what are some of the recent stuff that you've done?
Well, let's see. I work with Arizona Magic of Music and Dance for special needs children. Mm. And what we do every year is put on a theater play for a week. So we start with about 25 teenagers, and then we match them with special needs children. And we don't care if they're verbal, if they can walk. We don't care. We just want the children. And then we match the teenagers with the kids. And we call it servant leadership and really learning about how you give back. Mm-hmm. And for many of these, especially the special needs children, they've never had center stage. Wow. They've never been noticed, and the parents have never seen them noticed. Mm-hmm. So on Friday at noon, when we do the play, the parents are in the audience, and there's, you know, they're laughing, they're crying, and it is just, it's so fabulous to see both sides. And then, of course, the teenagers are learning how special they are to be able to have all their faculties and be able to do the things that they do. So that's wonderful. The other thing that I do is that I serve on, I'm president of Women's Outdoor Media Association, and it's a nationwide group. And what we do is we want to make women more visible that are in the outdoor sports, whatever it might be. So it's really cool. And we have a website, thewoma.com. And what we try to do is position people and women as they go out and they seek out some of these unusual things that we do. I was just on a pheasant hunt last week in Virginia. That's really cool. And that'll be posted. I'm just about ready to post my article on that.
That's really neat. And how can we get involved if you're a teen and you want to, you know, do the musical? Is there any way that we could sign up for that?
Yes, there is a website, azmagic.org, or you can contact me, and that's marshapetresue.com, and that's MarshaPetresue.com. And just email me, and I'll get you out the information. We'll get in touch with you, and we would be honored to have any more people that we can get. We're always looking for volunteers.
Sounds a lot of fun. I kind of want to do
it. Yeah, it's really cool. It really is. And it's just a wonderful group of leaders. Ruth Covey is the one that actually started Zeta 21, and Arizona Magic is part of that. And it's for servant leadership and to help people that don't normally have the resources to be as successful as they possibly can in their life.
That's great. You listen to the Voice America Kids Network. The show is Runway Role Models. I'm Cassie Frazier, and we were talking with Marsha. Now, you were talking about today how you were out somewhere with your cowboy boots. What were you doing earlier today?
Well, I was out at Ben Avery shooting whatever they call it, area, out by off Carefree Highway, and they have the single shot cowboy extravaganza.
There's
going
your
on
cowboy.
There. Yeah, you got it. And I tell you, these people are so talented. It is just amazing. One of the things we were watching on horseback, they ride around this corral and they have balloons on these big columns. So they go around one time and they shoot the balloons, one color balloons, with their pistols, with their single action pistols. Then they go around again and shoot them with their single action shotguns.
Oh,
I mean, it is amazing. Of course, they're not using real bullets or else we would all be dead. But it is just so neat to see the talent. And it's men and women competing. So it's not just men. And I think a lot of boys, a lot of people think it's just the boys and men that participate in that. But it's not. It was about 50% women.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And you probably loved the horses.
Oh, the horses were fabulous. I mean, and the way that those horses are trained, and especially they're trained not to react to the gunfire.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. There's a lot of people sitting there.
Yeah,
you know,
they're getting scared, and the horses are closer than they are, and they're totally fine.
And then they have other, like, stations. They have a saloon set up, so they're running around with the single-action pistols, and they're shooting all these targets. It's really very neat.
That's really cute. I bet you could own a horse if you wanted to.
I could.
Own your own ranch.
And the problem is my husband and I just travel too much. That's why we don't have a dog. He did want to get a dog last year, a hunting dog, and I've never had a dog. I've never been around dogs.
Are you serious? You've never owned a dog?
No, never owned a dog.
What?
Never
owned. Have you ever owned a cat?
I had. My mother raised Siamese cats.
Oh, that's
But my husband
beautiful.
Wanted this dog, and so I thought, what am I going to do? Because we can't have a dog.
You can travel with a dog, because a dog is easier.
Not a hunting dog.
Oh,
not
okay.
one of these big guys. So I designed a puppy prenup,
and
he wouldn't sign it. So, needless to say, we don't have a dog.
Oh my gosh. That's really cute. And now I was reading, you know, we're both in the chapters for Dolores Seawright's book, Shattering Barriers. And I was reading your chapter, and it says, you don't take anything too serious.
Right.
How did you become this way of not taking anything too seriously?
Well, I got knocked down several times in my corporate life. Mm-hmm. And I think when that happens, you really, and especially as a woman, you either let it eat you up and it makes your self-esteem go down the drain and it really hurts your self-confidence. And so I think you have to not take yourself too seriously because nobody else does. Mm-hmm. So you really can't let that happen because the minute you do that, you get all filled with yourself and your self-esteem is affected and it's not good for anybody. So I've really learned not to take myself too mm-hmm. seriously and just to lighten up, to learn how to manage my stress and to learn how that people really have good intentions.
Mm-hmm. In the corporate world, you talk about it all the time. How many years were you in the corporate world?
I hate to even admit.
Oh, no.
It was over, let's see, I retired in 1992, so it was about 32 years.
Wow, and it taught you a lot, though.
A lot.
What was probably your favorite job?
My favorite job was being executive vice president at Westinghouse Financial. Because what we would do is we'd go into broken businesses mm-hmm. and try to fix them. And I was the sales and marketing arm. And so many times you could go in, it would just be a very, very simple fix where you could make this entire group be better, sell better, market better, and just feel better about themselves. The sad side of the other side of that is that there were some companies that were so broken you couldn't fix.
Right.
And that's when you'd have to go in and lay off people. Mm. And that's tough.
Yeah, I bet
it's tough. That's really tough.
Well, let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. This is Runway Role Models, a look at people who are making a difference now and setting an example for our future. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the show on Voice America Kids. I'm Cassie Frazier. The show is Runway Role Models, and we are talking with Marsha Perry Sue. Is that
Marsha Petrie Sue?
Marsha Petrie Sue.
It's a tough name. I don't blame you.
Now, we were talking about, you know, how you were in Dolores' book, but you've also, I see on the table, you have some books of your own. Would you like talking and describing this to
us? Sure. 3 books ago, I wrote The CEO of YOU, and it's all about taking personal responsibility for your outcomes and for your success. And the CEO stands for Chief Energizing Officer, and YOU is your own success. Because I think everybody should get out of entitlement and into taking care of themselves. And knowing that, well, my dad always said to me, the only two helping hands you'll ever have are at the end of your arms. The one after that was called Toxic People, Decontaminate Difficult People Without Using Weapons or Duct Tape. And it's about dealing with difficult people in the workplace, but also at home. And actually, the book is in two halves. One is about how do you deal with the six different kinds of toxic people? But then the second half is what do you do with you when you become toxic? Because I think that's part of the whole equation of dealing with difficult people.
Definitely.
Then my last one is called The Reactor Factor, How to Handle Difficult Work Situations Without Going Nuclear. And both Toxic People and Reactor Factor have been translated now into Russian, Romanian, Czech, French, and Portuguese.
Wow.
So my publisher, John Wiley, is thrilled, needless to say. So it's really fun.
That's really cool. And where did you get your inspiration for these books?
A business, when I speak to groups, they will always, I like to do needs analysis and find out what are the issues that are facing people today. And so, for an example, when I wrote Toxic People, there was a lot of conflict in the workplace, a lot of backbiting and that sort of thing. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to write a book on dealing with difficult people. And then Reactor Factor, this was right at the economic downturn, and people were having a hard time getting out of their own entitlement, saying, no one can lay me off. And then people were getting laid off, and they didn't know how to find a job, write a resume. So this is all, I interviewed actually 52 leaders throughout the world and asked them, how do you hire people? Why do you have to fire people? How do you encourage people? And just all the things about what leadership does, and then what employees can do to help themselves.
That's amazing. And is it hard to write a book, to really sit down and concentrate and focus on it?
Takes a lot of discipline. Yeah. It's not hard. It's just a different kind of discipline. And so what I like to do is when I come up with a thought process about writing a book, like my next book, I think, I don't know yet, it's going to be SOS, Stamp Out Stupidity. So what I do is I take manila folders, and as I find stories, as people send me things, as I have titles and ideas and that sort of thing, I just put them in different manila folders. And then when I'm ready to write, I'll sit down and I'll just start anywhere. Because I think what happens to people, and the reason people say, you know, I can't write a book, is because they get a lined tablet of paper and they get out a pen and say, okay, I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
And you just can't do it that way, because that's not the way your mind works.
Right. And they are bestsellers.
Yes.
How do you feel when you got the call about being bestsellers?
At Barnes & Noble, it was just awesome. And then I was bestseller CEO Reed and Amazon. And it's just, it's very cool. It's very, very exciting. And it's always so unexpected, because this is like my second career. This is my fun job, you know? And you think, well, that's working out well.
Yeah.
You know, it's lovely.
What was probably your favorite book to write?
Toxic People.
Really?
No hesitation on that one.
No hesitation.
Yeah. It was really very interesting to write, because I did a lot of research on it to find out the six different kinds of difficult behavior. And there's a lot of books on difficult people, and some of them have, you know, 85 different kinds of difficult people, and that's just too hard to ferret through. So I thought, if I can just narrow it down to a six, I wanted 10 or less, actually. And so I wanted to figure that out, and then what are the words that you use in approach to manage that kind of behavior, because you're never going to change anybody else. And so I think everybody has to get out of that whole thought and theory, because it's just not going to work.
Does your husband ever read your books?
No.
Never?
He knows what I speak on, and because he's got them all lined up in his office and everything,
cute.
But he doesn't read them.
He doesn't read them.
No.
They're just for show.
Just for show.
That's really
cute. Just for show.
And where could we go to get these books?
Amazon. They're on Amazon. They're also on my website, MarciaPetrySue.com, or you can go directly to the publisher, John Wiley.
That's really cool. You're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. The show is Runway Role Models. I'm Cassie Frazier, and we were talking with Marcia Petrie Sue.
Bingo.
I got it. Yeah. Now, you've also worked as a kindergarten teacher and found out that that wasn't quite the job that you wanted to do.
No.
Why did you start teaching?
Well, when you graduate from college in the 60s, you were either a nurse, a flight attendant, a stewardess, as we called them then, or teacher. So I didn't want to be A or B, so I was C. And so 5 years of college, graduated, taught school for less than 6 months, hated every minute of it.
Really?
Well, I chose at 20 never to have kids, never been around young kids or anything, and then I'm a kindergarten teacher. I cried all the way to school, all the way home. I remember there was a couple nights I'd pull into my garage, I'd be crying, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to sit here all night. I just don't care. And the kids aren't going to notice if I change clothes or not anyway. Oh my gosh. No, and then that's when I went in and got my first business job was actually selling gourmet food and candy in markets. You know when you go that's in really and they cool. give you samples?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Oh my gosh,
and then they
really
had
cool.
me selling and I did well at sales and it just went on from there.
Why did you become a chocolate manufacturer?
Well, I worked for a chocolate manufacturer, wow, and it was so just cool. wonderful. The problem with that job is I used to eat my samples.
Yeah, I bet.
I'd go in, and the good news was my sample bags didn't weigh much because there was nothing in them uh-huh. except the box and yeah. the wrappers.
Oh, my gosh. That was probably the funnest job ever.
Ever.
How do you get a job like that?
Just go to a manufacturer, any kind of food manufacturer, go to a grocery store, mm-hmm. and there are companies that specifically do that. And you know, you see the people, whether you're in Costco or Fry's or mm-hmm. wherever, and they're doing that. And there are companies that actually hire people to do that. That's so I really think cool. it's really cool.
That sounds like a fun job. You just like hand out chocolates?
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. And you learned with that job to take risks.
Yes.
How did you learn to take risks with that job?
Well, I was the candy girl. You know, I'd be handing out the candy. And your goal there, obviously, is to get people that you're tasting your stuff mm-hmm. to buy it. And so for some reason, I'd go in, and I was really very compelling to people that I'd hand the stuff to, and I was selling more than anyone. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is crazy. I'm not getting paid. Now, the other sales reps from the company were, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, and this was an all-male company. I was the yeah. first female. And so I went to the guy that had hired me, and I said, I want to be in sales. He says, we don't have any women in sales. I said, I'll tell you what, I think it's time.
Wow.
And this was early 70s. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty brazen. That was pretty yeah. brazen. He says, well, we're going to give you a try. And I wound up being top salesperson.
Wow.
So that was really amazing. Very cool. And then I was hired away to sell Yellow Pages over the telephone. Hardest job I've ever had in the world.
Wow.
It was, oh my gosh. But I learned a ton.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And you were talking about how it's a male-dominant company.
Yeah.
What did the others think about you? Like a woman coming into the job and selling more than they... that they sell?
Well, not pleased.
Okay,
is
yeah,
a very
definitely.
Kind way to say it.
Definitely.
And they would said beginner's luck, and you know they mm-hmm. made every excuse in right. the world. And well, you know, she's probably wearing short skirts and everything.
Yeah.
And we didn't have short skirts back then, but you know, if it was above your knee, it was a short skirt. Mm-hmm. And they would make every excuse in the world. And
right.
I just continued to show them that it wasn't.
It wasn't that. My mom, she actually told me because. We were at a car place, and there was one woman salesman, and there was tons of male ones. I was like, why is she the only one? And everybody would come up to her, and you would see people going in and out, in and out. And I was like, Mom, I don't understand. She's like, it's something about a woman in a male-dominant job. They always sell more.
Right, and it's very interesting. And I think one of the big differences between men and women in business, men were socialized, whether it's right or wrong. Mm. Typically, men are socialized to be more independent, right. be more competitive. They have a little bit larger ego because of those first two mm-hmm. and many other aspects. Women, on the other hand, were socialized to build relationships,
right.
to be more gracious, to be more friendly. And so that in itself, especially a woman-to-woman sale, you got it. You got
it. It's already put in the bag.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you were talking about how you were selling Yellow Pages for advertising and how it was a tough job. Tell us what you had to do with that.
Just cold call people and say, hi, can I sell you an ad?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, out of the blue. And it was a very, very interesting job. And you learn how to get through any objection anybody can tell you.
We'll talk more about that after the break. All right. I'm Cassie Frazier, Keyword right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. This is Runway Role Models, a look at people who are making a difference now and setting an example for our future. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and we're talking with Marsha Petrisu. Got it? Yay, I got it. I'm so excited. Alrighty, now, before the break, we were talking about you selling page advertising.
Yellow page advertising, yes.
And you said it was really hard.
Yep.
Can you just tell us what you told us during the break?
Well, one of the things that they really wanted to make sure that you do and did is to have a smile in your voice.
Oh,
and so they would put a mirror by your telephone, which is so goofy, and they had those little press-on letters that said S-M-I-L-E, and every time you picked up the phone, you had to look in the mirror, make sure you had a smile on your face, either for an incoming call, which we got very few of, or an outgoing call. Mm-hmm. We were making probably 90 to 100 calls, outbound calls a day.
Wow.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. So you get home and you don't want to talk to anybody.
Oh, no. You don't even want to have the phone.
People say, hey, you know, let's go meet for, you know, an adult beverage. You go, no.
No,
I want to just go close myself in a closet. Thank you very much. But it was good, and it was fabulous training.
And we were talking about how you have to have a hard shell, but kind of the soft center,
right?
Because that's what people want.
And that's what people hear. They hear it in your voice. They hear your heart speaks every time you open your mouth. And what you're thinking comes out of your mouth, whether you want it to or not. So if you're having a tough day, you're thinking, I call it mental terrorism, you know, where you have all that little negative chatter going on. That's going to become very apparent in the way people read you and hear your words and the way they perceive what you are trying to deliver.
What were some of the things that you took out of, you know, advertising on the phone?
Well, I think one of the things is you have to be concise. You have to be very poignant. You have to be bottom line oriented. However, you still have to be gracious with it.
Right.
So you can't be cut and dried too much. So there's a very fine balance there between being to the point and still building a relationship. And it's something that, fortunately, I was able to learn.
That's really cool. And with them saying no all the time, did you figure out a way to sort of tell them to say yes to you?
And I think one of the things, especially in sales, that when you're told no, it just means that you have not given them enough information to say yes. So it's not about you. You can't take it emotionally. You can't take it personally, because it really, truly doesn't matter. You just have to make sure that you're clear in your speech, you're enunciating well, that you're telling your story well, and that you understand what their needs are so that you can meet their needs. You can't just chat about the features of the product or what it's going to do for them. You have to be able to make the connection to what they need and what you have to offer.
That's a really good advice. And you seem to me, I was reading your chapter in the book, and you seem to me like every job you do is fantastic. How do you do it all with it being absolutely fantastic?
One of my kind of mantras that I like to keep in my head is a positive attitude may not solve all your problems, but it will annoy enough people to make it worth the effort. So my focus is to keep that positive outlook. My father always told me, he says, you know, you'd have fun at a skunk fight. And And I like that, you know, and I think that you really have to look for the good. And there's a lot of nasty stuff out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trials and tribulations. And I'll tell you, I've stepped in a lot of potholes on that path of life. Mm-hmm. And you just have to get up, pull yourselves up by the bootstraps and say, okay, I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. There's a lot of toxic people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I like what Mark Twain said, too. Mark Twain said the only difference between a rut and a grave is the length and the depth. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times when we feel buried, it's our job to take personal responsibility to find that positive path.
Mm-hmm. Is your husband must be very positive, too.
No, he's terrible.
No, really?
No. He's the biggest contrarian known to mankind.
Oh, my gosh. So then he helps you.
Yeah, we balance. Practice. We really balance each other because we're very, very different. And really I think that's really good. It's so funny. He's trained now. He knows that he'll always find the bad side or tell me what's wrong and all that. And then now he'll stop and he'll say, is this a point where I'm supposed to tell you something good? Oh, and this would be it. Yep. Yeah. And he'll say, okay, wait a minute, let me think. You know, and you can see that, okay, I've got something. You know? Yeah. So little, and we've been married 18 years. Oh, so little by little, he's getting it. You know?
He's getting it little by little. That's so funny. And some people might not know this, but you are slightly dyslexic.
Yes, I am.
How do you do it?
It's a learning disability. You get over it. You know, and I think so many people will use a learning disability as an excuse. You just learn how to deal with it. And it's numbers for me. Is you give me a phone number, you better have me repeat it back 3 times because otherwise it's not going to be right. Right.
And when did you learn that you had dyslexia?
When I was doing my child kindergarten training in college, and we were talking about learning disabilities.
Oh, man.
And I never knew. I never knew why I didn't test well and all some of the other aspects of dyslexia. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have kids in school that had the same disability that you did?
In kindergarten, it's hard to tell because remember back then, they didn't have preschool.
Oh, right.
And so reading, they really were learning to read in kindergarten, so it was way more difficult to tell.
Gotcha. You're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. The show is Runway Role Models. I'm Kaz Frazier, and we were talking with Marsha Petrie-Sue. Yes, I got it again. Yay. All right. Now, after retiring, like you said, your husband was like, I love you so deeply, but you got to get a job.
Right.
Because you were annoying him, and it's only been a few weeks after you retired.
Right.
And what was your reaction to that? You're like, really?
Well, and I know me, and I know that I need to be doing something. Yes. And that's why I've always been very heavily involved in my volunteerism and very focused on my jobs, whatever they may be, whether paid or not paid. And that's why I love being an outdoor writer and doing some of the things I'm doing, because I'm able to use some of the skills and talents that I've been able to learn. However, I'm not driving my poor husband nuts. So, and he's very active in a lot of different things as well. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of volunteer work also. And it's really nice because it's a good balance. It's a really good balance for us. So that's when I became a professional speaker. And then because of being a professional speaker, people would say, we really want to take you home. So that's when I started recording and writing and doing videos and all that sort of thing.
And does your husband ever come to you with volunteer work and you guys kind of go together?
All the time.
That's really cute.
We do a lot of conservation work for the Arizona Antelope Foundation and also for the Desert Bighorn Sheep. And what we do is we try to improve their habitat so that the herds grow and it helps the migration of the animals.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's beautiful outdoor work, too. Mm-hmm. The only problem I have is I have to camp. And I do it, and you know, it's not my favorite thing in the whole world, but my husband loves it when I go with him, and it's so wonderful to be able to give back.
That's really cool. And we were saying, after you were retiring, you became a professional speaker.
Yes.
Out of all jobs.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to choose that one?
Well, in my corporate life, I did a lot of media. I had to do a lot of presentations, board presentations, and that sort of thing, and I loved it. I just loved it, yeah. And I'd been through a lot of training because I used to be so anxious, and the anxiety would just, you know, and then I'm going to get back to the word mental terrorism, you know, where it just rips you apart and you start to speak, you got that little weird voice and your knees are shaking and everything. And I got over that and I thought, you know, I've always wanted to really be in front of some groups and just share some of my corporate knowledge, some of the things that I've learned, some of the, you know, cow pies that I've stepped in. And I really want to share some of that. So that that's why I wanted to become an international corporate speaker.
What did your husband think when you're like, all right, honey, I know what I'm going to do?
He loved it.
Really?
Yeah, he loved it.
Do you ever practice in front of him, like, all the time. You're going to say?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be really cool. And also with you being a professional speaker, what are some of the events that you've gone to and spoke publicly?
Well, let's see. The biggest one that I ever spoke to was the Pampered Chef Convention, and that was a total of 35,000 people.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Goodness.
That was very cool. That was in Chicago. I think one of the neat ones was New Zealand.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter.
Very cool.
You can find us at Voice America.
And then I do a lot of corporate work for some of the corporations here in the Valley, but mostly every time I speak, I'm out of state.
In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show.
Well, it's good for the frequent flyer miles, and that's about it.
Add shows to your list of favorites and listen to all our show archives on demand, all from your iPhone.
Oh gosh, I haven't been down there in probably 6-7 years.
And I've been down there or Android Market, and get ready to tune in.
We're going, actually, I'm doing some more work up in Alaska too, which is really neat, with Fort Wainwright.
What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected. This is Runway Role Models, a look at people who are making a difference now and setting an example for our future. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and we were talking with Marsha Petrie-Sue. Got it again. Now, before the break, we were talking about public speaking.
Yes.
What do you usually talk about when you're in front of a crowd?
Well, I always customize my presentations to fit the group, the topic, the industry, the company, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud to say I've really never done the same speech twice, because I really like to make sure that you get that connection with the people. One of the most popular ones right now is the decontaminating toxic people. Mm-hmm. And that is just such a huge issue. I'm actually speaking to a law firm here in town, to the attorneys and the administrators on the decontaminating toxic people.
That's really cool. Yeah. And you never get nervous?
I get a little bit, but, you know, I think you learn, and that's what I talk about in the Reactor Factor book, is how do you channel that and take that nervousness and make it energy.
Right. And it's just, I think it's butterflies more than anything.
You just have to get the butterflies to fly in formation.
I'm so going to use that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to tweet about that and stuff.
Yeah.
And now you were also in a book with... me, Shattering Barriers.
Yes.
With Miss Dolores Seawright. What was it like sharing your story with Dolores?
Well, I enjoy sharing my story, and Dolores was just a total delight to work with.
Sweetheart.
She is just marvelous. And my feeling is, my mission in life, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, mm-hmm. my mission in life is to give back more than I've received and connect my head and my heart with my mouth. And so if I can share my head and my heart through books like Dolores wrote, then it really helps me live my mission. Because mm-hmm. my goal is if I can help one person a month, that's all I want, 12 a year, to be a little bit better, a little bit more successful in life, I've lived my life's mission. Because I know that everyone has been put on this earth for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out what that reason is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is what mission statements are all about.
That's really cool. And how did you meet Dolores?
You know, that is an excellent question. I know that she contacted me and said somebody else that's in the book referred me, and I can't remember who, but mm-hmm. someone else that she was interviewing said, have you talked to Marsha Petry Sue? And she says, no, who's that? Mm-hmm. So here we are.
Yes, yeah. That's really cool. And when she told you, I'd like you to be my book, were you a little bit, okay?
No, I love sharing the story.
Mm-hmm.
More I can get the story out and anything that I can help people understand and be a little bit more self-aware, man, I'm good to go.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
And it's easy for you because you're an excellent talker and speaker.
Well, thank you. And I think one of the things, and that's a really good point you bring up, is that I think we need to learn to share our stories.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Definitely.
We really do. Because when you hold that inside, I think it's harmful for you, and it doesn't allow other people to see the little foibles that you might have in your life and mm-hmm. and some of the tender things that have happened to you. And a lot of people just really hold it in. So that took me a long time to learn.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And when you got the end product of the book, were you like, honey, look it, I'm in a book?
Yes, I was, because it's really neat.
It is really neat.
Yeah, it's really neat.
It's different because you'll be sitting there interviewing, and then to see the end product, you're like, wow, that's really cool.
Well, I was really sorry I missed her red carpet affair,
because
I was off speaking somewhere. I don't even know where I was, and I was just really upset because the beautiful award that she gave me, she came over to the house and had my picture taken. My husband took our picture with the award, and so it was really cool. I was just really upset that I missed that.
Mm-hmm. It was a really neat event. You got to see all the girls and hear them.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And does your husband read that book?
It's
just a little chapter. It's like three pages.
No.
What's it like being in a book than writing books? Which one do you like more? Do you like being the interviewer or the interviewee?
I like interviewing people and then writing books about it.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I've done that. CEO is more about my own personal responsibility and stories about setting goals and that sort of thing. But both Toxic People and Reactor Factor, I interviewed a lot of people.
That's really cool. And now, where could we go to find out more about you? Do you have a Twitter, Facebook?
I'm on Twitter. It's MPSUE. MPSUE is my Twitter. And then Facebook is Marsha Petry Sue. And again, Petry is P as in Paul, E-T as in Tom, R-I-E, Sue, S-U-E. And it's M-A-R-S-H-A. I should have said that too, because there's another way to spell it. And I'm in LinkedIn as well, and Bebo.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's MarshaPetrySue.com.
That's really cool. And you can grab your books on Amazon?
Amazon, through my website, call the publisher, Barnes & Noble, all the outlets.
And you
for
can
books.
Also get Shattering Barriers on
yes,
Amazon.
Yes, you can.
That's just really cool. You listen to the Voice America Kids Network. The show is Runway Role Models. I'm Cassie Frazier. We are talking with Marsha Petry Sue. Got it? And we're going to do Cassie's This or That. So you can relax. We can stop talking about you for now.
Cool.
And we're going to play a little game. Sounds cool.
Yep.
I'm going to give you two things. You have to tell me which one you would prefer. Okay. So peanut butter or jelly?
Peanut butter.
Magazine or book? This is tough.
Book.
A book. Reading or writing?
Writing.
Flowers or chocolates?
Flowers.
Fragile or indestructible?
Indestructible.
Numbers or letters?
Letters.
Dim lights or soft music?
Soft music.
Waiting room or being late and rushing in?
Waiting room.
Working or vegging?
Working.
Weekends or vacations?
Weekends.
Leaving or coming in?
Coming in.
Fancy or casual?
Casual.
I love casual. Makeup or jewelry?
It's all about the makeup.
And I love makeup.
I do too.
Especially mascara. I love mascara. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
In-state or out-of-state?
Out-of-state.
Squares or circles?
Squares.
Colors or white?
Colors.
Briefcase or a purse?
Briefcase.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like purses?
No.
Oh. Okay. Mommy's girl or daddy's little
girl?
You're a daddy girl.
Big time.
Oh, man. Letters or invitations?
Invitations.
Leather or fur?
Fur.
You like fur? Even though you've never owned a dog? Or barely a cat, because Siamese don't really have fur.
No.
Yeah. Dior or Coach?
Dior.
Silly or conversation?
Conversation.
Running early or running late?
Ooh, running early.
Hiccups or twitching?
Twitching.
Twitching. Autocorrect right or autocorrect wrong?
Autocorrect right.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had those embarrassing moments when you type something in your iPhone?
Oh, yeah.
And you send it to people and it's not right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have. And you're going, that's not exactly what
that's
I
meant. That's
not
what I was going to say to you. Grade school or high school?
Oh, high school.
Too bad I didn't say kindergarten because I know what you're going to choose. Regular room or a suite?
Suite.
Waterfalls or raindrops?
Waterfalls.
Country music or rock?
Rock.
Brand new or worn in?
Ooh, brand new.
I love brand new shoes too.
Ooh.
Especially high heels.
Mm.
Questions or answers?
Questions.
Ties. Tears. See? Oh my gosh, there's an autocorrect. Tears of joy or hugs for leaving?
Hugs for leaving.
Late morning or late afternoon?
Late afternoon.
The dentist or the doctors?
Dentist.
You like the dentist?
Yeah.
I love the dentist too. Sleeping or waking up?
Waking up.
You like waking up?
Oh, I love waking up. Life's too short to sleep.
Yeah. Hungry or too full?
Oh, hungry.
I love being hungry because then you get to eat all this wonderful
food. Well, you're
tiny.
I
know. I eat a lot.
Oh, yeah, right.
I do.
Yeah.
I eat a lot. You can even ask my mom.
I eat like a bird, a vulture.
Oh, my gosh. Crowded room or no one there?
No one there.
No one there. Enter or exit?
Enter.
Being cold or being too hot?
Being cold.
Fairy dust or wizard wands?
Fairy dust.
I love fairy dust. Boats or cars?
Cars.
Okay, this is a good one. Camping or black tie events?
Oh, black tie.
Really?
Oh, sure.
You love black ties?
Oh, I love black tie.
That was a good one. That's all of my Cassie's this or that.
I love it. It's very cool.
Do you go to a lot of black tie events?
Well, I would like to go to more, except my husband's not thrilled with them. So getting him into a jacket is awesome.
That's cute. You guys are probably cute out in public.
It's different. There's never a dull moment, I can tell you that.
Well, thank you so much, Marsha.
Well, thank you, Cassie.
It's been a pleasure. You're so fun to talk to.
Thank you.
I hopefully will read some of your books because they sound amazing. Oh, thank you. That's going to do it. Thanks for joining us. Listen to the show weekly on voiceamericakids.com. Contact me at voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Mention my name, Cassie Frazier, and the show. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for tuning in to Runway Role Models on the Voice America Kids channel. Be sure to come back for more stories of inspiration next week at the same time. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, real kids, real talk radio.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.